Welcome to Brave Together podcast here on UK Health Radio, an empowering resource for the parents of children with disabilities, neurodivergence, and all unique needs.
What was the inspiration to be a parent? And hopefully the inspiration to be a parent was to bring up an amazing human being and to see your life and to grow a life and develop a life. And well, that may be different to what you expected, it can still be awesome, and so it's choosing what we listen to.
Hi, Brave friends. I'm so excited for our very first Thriving Disabled Adults episode. This is a new episode that we are doing this season, season 7 of Brave Together Parenting Podcast. And our first guest is a radiant soul. I could feel his energy and his vibrance just reading about him. So I cannot wait for you to hear this conversation. Cam Calcoon is from New Zealand, and he says that his life, defined by cerebral palsy, ambition, and service above self, embodies resilience and determination. He defied expectations by mastering running and speaking, achievements once deemed impossible for him. Cam is thrilled to share his journey on Brave Together Parenting Podcast and celebrating his parents' nurturing as he prepares for parenthood himself. Cam's story reflects values of courage and limitless potential. As a full professional inspirational speaker, he delivers a powerful message worldwide, inspiring others to surpass perceived limits and embrace their unique abilities. Please enjoy my conversation with Cam Calcoon. Hi, Cam. Welcome to Brave Together Parenting. I'm so excited for you to be on the show today.
Oh, Jessica, I'm excited to be here. I'm here at my home in New Zealand, and it's a real honor to be speaking with you in America.
Well, a long time ago, actually, Nicola Irvine tried to connect us. And you know what? Maybe it just wasn't the right timing and that the universe brought us together now.
Nicola has been a great friend for a few years, and as you know, she's an amazing connector. So to have this connection and to be sharing this with your community, and I love, you know, getting to know what you've done for mothers and parents of young people and people with disabilities. So anything I can give a bit more hope and possibility and inspiration, but it's all awesome. That's why I do what I do.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit of your story?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Cam. I've just turned 40, but I was born with cerebral palsy, a physical disability, which affects the way in which messages travel around my body. So, you know, it affects my speech a little bit, but what you see and what you hear is what you get. I live in my own house here in New Zealand. I brought this with my wife. I have more friends than anyone I know, and I get to travel the world as an inspirational speaker, and that's my life. I've represented our country in sport. I've climbed Mount Kilimanjaro. I'm an ambassador for Toyota. Been involved in setting up mentoring programs and youth development programs, and just every single day look to make life as awesome as it can be. And awesome is, you know, it starts with awe. And it's those things that are a little bit scary or a little bit unexpected, but we get to the other side of a journey and we look back and go, that's awesome. And so I know that for mum and dad, when it started and they heard I was from cerebral palsy, it wasn't what they expected, but I'm sure we'll go into how they turned that around.
Yeah, so bring me back to when you were young and tell me what childhood was like. Tell me what your parents were like. Do you have any siblings?
So I'm the first of two siblings. I've got a younger sister. And my mum and dad actually met in Holland. So my dad, his parents are Dutch. My mum is Scottish. They were both in Holland together doing an OE. And they came back 12 years later with me. And going into the procedure of birth, everything was all going to plan and it was all going great and I was a healthy child. And then during birth, things happened, complications happened, and I was born with cerebral palsy. And, you know, a few years ago when COVID was happening, and I asked Mum and Dad for the first time in my life, I said, Mum, Dad, what decisions did you make at the point that you heard I was born with cerebral palsy? Something that they could not control, something that they did not expect, something that there was no guidebook to success on. And they said that they stayed true to the dreams that inspired them to be parents. And so staying true to that vision. And so I remember my treehouse. It was big and it was gnarly and it was up a big cliff and it had a rope ladder and it had windows. And when people would come over for a day at the Calcoon's house, they'd look up at my treehouse and they'd see me wobbling along. And they'd say to Mum and Dad, do you really let Cam go all the way up there? Or what if he falls over? To which Mum and Dad would respond, but what if he makes it to the top? And you know, there were some times that I did fall over, but for getting back up, I built resilience. And you know, part of that resilience was every day after school, going to the hospital, doing speech therapy, physiotherapy, all that stuff to just try and be as strong as I could.
So it sounds like your parents didn't let fear stop them from allowing you to try things and to be a little separate from them. Was that always the case, or did they learn that along the way?
Yeah, I believe it was always the case. I remember coming home from school and wanting to play football and, sure, go and play football and let's go out and get a uniform and let's, you know, just experiment and do stuff. And growing up here in New Zealand, we've got coastal and beaches and outdoor pursuits is a big thing. And walking on the beach, I found that hard, you know. I had my wobbling legs and it was tight muscles. And Mum and Dad, they went out and they brought me a little quad bike, a little four-wheeler motorbike so that I could go on the beach. And look, Mum and Dad, we weren't rich, we weren't poor, we were probably middle class, but for them it was just that thing of what can we do to see the opportunities here. And so when I went ahead with the motorbike, that was a cool thing, you know. Other kids would come up and be like, whoa, cool man, look at your motorbike. And so now we had stuff to like talk about. And as I got to school, I'd walk up to the other kids and I'd say, look, I can't skateboard like you guys do. My balance isn't as good as yours. I'd give them a compliment. But I have my scooter, and with my scooter, I can go wherever you go. And then when it came to playing cricket, which is this crazy sport we do in New Zealand, it's like baseball but different. And I couldn't bowl, you know, the whole length of the field or the pitch. But I just walk up and I chat to the kids and I say, look, I can't bowl, but are you okay if I bowl from halfway? And I think what I learned from Mum and Dad was it was just all about communicating. And that sometimes we need to step outside our comfort zone in order to be that communicator. And if we are different in the way we look or talk or think or act, we have to have the belief that we can make people comfortable around us.
Mm. It sounds like, I mean, did you ever struggle with a sense of belonging, or was there something like within you or how your parents raised you that kind of armed you to go into situations or go into school or go into, you know, a group of kids with confidence? Or was that just a slow process of building that confidence?
From my perspective, like, I don't know life any different. So I guess for Mum and Dad, their job was to just treat me like any other kid. My job was to just believe I was Cam and what are the things that Cam enjoys doing and communicating that. And when we grow up, you know, like, kids learn stuff. And so I feel different for people who might acquire a disability on the journey of life, because there is an us and them. I think what I'm trying to get to is it's about just leaving expectation and going, things are different, but what can we do? You know, mum and dad's attitude, focus on what you can do, not what you can't do. And that's what I did. It was challenging when I was becoming a teenager. That was different because, I mean, becoming a teenager is pretty crazy for everyone. You know, you're changing your perception of the world, of who am I? And for me, I'd moved out of a community that I'd grown up in. And so I was going into a community where people didn't know the history of CAM, and it was starting new. And at that point, you know, those were my challenging years of my life. But when I look back on those, they were challenging because of what I was perceiving my life to be. But I was perceiving I wasn't strong enough, or wasn't fast enough, or wouldn't have a good-looking partner, or, you know, all that stuff that teenagers think about. But it was kind of magnified because, you know, you don't look out and you don't see people with cerebral palsy up on the billboards or on TV, and it's easy to make that your label.
We are going to take a brief break. Stay with us.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, brave friends. How did you come up with, you know, becoming a citizen of awesomeness and being, as you say, like opportunity centric? Because that is such a beautiful way to look at life. I mean, you don't seem to be a person like even you said, like your parents probably instilled this. It's not about what you can't do. It's what about you can do and what's possible. What are opportunities waiting for me? So what would you say to our parents to just encourage them to focus there and to help their kids also focus there?
So we often in life talk about who you surround yourself with. You know, there's all sorts of quotes of you're the average of the five people around you and all of that stuff. And mum and dad really took on board of who can we surround Cam with. And so when I was going through that really tough time as a teenager and having some pretty dark thoughts, and there were a few things that happened. One, we have a MTV personality in New Zealand, and he's called Jeremy Wells, and he had this amazing MTV show and people would laugh, and he was a great entertainer, and he became New Zealand's like Bachelor of the Year and all this stuff. And Mum had written a letter to Jeremy, and I have no idea what Mum wrote in that letter, but I returned home from a pretty bad day at school, and next to the biscuits and the milk was an envelope from MTV. And inside that envelope, and I'm looking at it on my wall now, was the letter from Jeremy Wells. And in that letter, it's a two-page letter. I can send you a copy of it. And in the middle of it, he's saying, difference is a good thing. He said, the people who count in this world look for those who are different. And so when I got that, I started to think, well, instead of worrying about the way I walk, maybe I could be inspired by amazing athletes to become an athlete myself. Instead of worrying about the way I talk and seeing my speech as an impediment, I could see it as an accent. And that's what I did. And instead of worrying about what people might think about me, I could give them things to think about. And so that was there. And when mum and dad also saw school as being the most important place, and what made school important wasn't the boxes that they ticked. Yeah, we've got special needs units or whatever it may be. What was the most important thing was who is leading that school. What is the principal? What is the principal's outlook on life and on inclusion and on excellence? And if mum and dad didn't like that principal, I wouldn't go to that school. We'd move to a whole other part of New Zealand or Auckland to find a school that actually celebrated inclusion, because when you're building a community.
Wow. Your parents sound so fantastic. I would love to meet them.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people will say, look, you had amazing parents, and I did. But you see people all over the world with amazing parents and go completely different ways. And so it's always that thing of creating the environment, but then working out for yourself who you're going to be in this world. And the way I see it is you can feel sorry for yourself and you can look at everything that's unfair or unjust, or you can go, look, man, there's some people out there doing incredible things from all different backgrounds of life. And so having met thousands of people and interviewed people myself and people who have come from nothing to have everything that others would ever imagine, it always comes down to the attitude and how we perceive the world. Challenges are there for everyone. It's just some challenges are more obvious than others.
Very true. Wow. I love your attitude and I love your spirit. If you could give advice to parents who are just starting out this journey with a child, they've been delivered some sort of diagnosis, Cam, what would you want to say to those parents who are just starting out or just in the early years of the journey?
Well, I was excited by your podcast, by the name of it, of Brave Together. I think having that brevity is a huge thing, because there are challenges. And then really that thing of what was the inspiration to be a parent? And hopefully the inspiration to be a parent was to bring up an amazing human being and to see your life and to grow a life and develop a life. And well, that may be different to what you expected, it can still be awesome. And so it's choosing what we listen to. And that's, you know, for any aspect of life, you know, as a speaker, I speak with businesses and people going through all sorts of times and simply, at the end of the day, wanting to be the best that they can be. And it's about, well, what information are we putting in here? And all that stuff can be sort of simple and perceived as eerie fairy or whatever, but it is a choice, and what we perceive the world will influence how we feel. A few years ago, I climbed up Mount Kilimanjaro. And so I'd been at a cafe with a mate of mine who's a real adventurer. And he said, Cam, have you ever thought about climbing Mount Kilimanjaro? And I was like, no, I never thought about it. It wasn't part of my bucket list. But the reasons for saying yes were way more awesome than perceptions for saying no. And so I got 20 mates and we climbed up Kilimanjaro, and these are people who, some are millionaires running billion-dollar companies, working with people like Sir Richard Branson, singing for people like Pink and Madonna and Kylie Minogue. And I asked all these people what got them to their level of life. And they said that at the point of getting comfortable, we pushed ourselves further. And now I think that thing of pushing ourselves It's really key, whether you're a young person with a disability. I've not been a parent, but I've seen my mum and dad, and I know that at times they really had to push themselves. They really had to push themselves to not stop at the first hurdle. There were lots of people that would say, Cam will never walk, Cam will never talk, these will be his challenges. Mum and dad kept looking for the people who would give them the news they wanted to give them. When it came to school and getting things like a laptop or a handrail installed in the school, that didn't get done straight away. There were all kinds of hoops that mum and dad had to jump through, but they kept jumping through them and they kept challenging people at the level of making decisions as to, are you doing the best for my son? Or are you just, have you got your feet up on the table just doing what's easy? And so creating that really powerful team around you and your children and your family and a team that inspires you, that's what's awesome.
Hey everyone, it's Jessica here, and I just want to give a shout out to our big, beautiful 5K sponsors, Rise Advocacy, GHJ Foundation, Torrance Memorial Medical Center, CMS Creative Management, the Pate Family, and MRM Education. We are so grateful to these big sponsors, and we're so excited about our 5K event, which will really be a family event. It's going to be at Palos Verdes High School, October 20th, and it will be wheelchair friendly. It will be family friendly. It'll be stroller friendly. We are going to do laps around the track. We're going to have a food truck, a coffee cart, vendors, authors, artists. We cannot wait to see you. Registration is open now, and be a part of the big We Are Brave Together team. And if you are not local to these events, we're going to have one in San Diego and one in Palos Verdes. You can do your 5K anywhere in the world. We thank you so much for participating and supporting We Are Brave Together in this event. And in your everyday life, do you feel like you're still having to advocate for yourself? You're still hitting walls where things aren't accessible like they should be, or barriers that you're running up against still? Or does it feel like everything is now open for you because just of everything you've experienced, because of your attitude, because of your outlook, Cam? Does it feel like those walls aren't there, or do you still see them? Do you still feel them?
I still feel them, but I know that the biggest barrier is up here, and it's how I perceive stuff. And so as a speaker, you know, this is my job. My voice is my job. I know the results that I get up when I get on stage, and I will speak on 100 stages a year all over the world, but it all starts off with making a phone call or doing something where they can't see the rest of me. And I know that at first, there's all sorts of perceptions that are possibly not working in my favor until I start to realize that actually difference is a good thing. So how do I make others perceive me? What is the energy I bring in? What is the stuff that I can control? I can control what I'm wearing and therefore what I look like. And that stuff may seem simple or vain or whatever, but it's about making people comfortable around me. And then I've got to be comfortable with myself. And so I go to the gym, and it's not to become Arnold, you know, what's his name? But it's because if I can challenge myself in the environment of a gym where you are surrounded by perfection, perceived perfection, then I can really do whatever I want to do outside of those four gyms of the wall. And same with when I got into sport. You know, as a kid, the physio would always be like, oh, he can't touch his toes, or he can't do this. And I'd be like, why do I even need to touch my toes, right? And so I got uninspired and unmotivated. And then I got into my sport, and I realized that as a sprinter, if I could touch my toes, I'd now be faster. If I was more flexible, I'd now have a longer stride. If I was stronger, I'd be more powerful. And so going to training to be an athlete, just like all these other athletes that we're seeing at the Olympics, that was way more inspiring for me than going to the hospital and kind of trying to get the same outcome. So it's about what inspires your young person to do the things they know they have to do. It's like when we were learning to type at school, you know, you could just learn to type. Or I remember there was a car game and you type, and the faster you type, the faster your car would go. And that would be motivating. And so kids would want to learn how to type. And it's that thing of just finding out what makes people happy and trying to build a life around that.
What is your favorite thing to speak on when you get on a stage? Or do you have, like, these are my top five things that I really like to speak on?
My favorite thing is a personal story that within it has so many levels, Jessica, so many dimensions. But as I'm telling it, I can see people reflecting on their own journey and going, oh yeah, I'd forgotten about that. And I can see people's attitudes and perceptions changing. And I don't know what the immediate result of that will be, but I know that it leads to something great. I can see the uncomfort on some people at first when I walk out, but within a few seconds, they're laughing and they're thinking and we're connected. And so this is the importance and the power of speaking and listening to people. This is why podcasts are so cool, because we can just make all sorts of assumptions about people. But when we hear someone's story, we start to form connection. We start to go, oh, actually, I have those kind of dreams and goals as well. Or, yeah, I remember my treehouse at school. And now we're seeing these things that make you and I very similar. And so that's what's exciting.
Do you have a particular audience that you love to speak to?
When I was developing this speech, and I've been doing this for close to 20 years now, I wanted to be universal. I wanted to speak all over the world. So I made a lot of focus on how do I make this a universal message. And so in a week, I can speak at a school to a group of 11, 12, 13-year-olds, and then a group of real estate agents who are all just wanting to go out there and sell houses and are clapping and they're excited and they're like, yeah. And then I can speak to a group of accountants who are a little bit tired or they're being pushed. And then a group of entrepreneurs or when I was up in Orlando last month speaking at the family cafe, you know, of parents and people with disabilities. And, you know, although I've got a disability, that's probably 1% of the people I speak to every single year. But it's such a joy to be able to be up there and just say, look, you may be given all sorts of diagnoses and you may have all sorts of perceptions, but never underestimate the power of your dream and your ability to inspire your young people to dream.
Stay with us, Bravies. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Brave Together podcast.
And that's the message. That's dream big, achieve more. And therefore, it doesn't matter who people are or what they're doing. We can never underestimate the power of a dream. You know, it was great to have my parents. It was great to have Jeremy Wells. It was great to go to an awesome school with an awesome leader. But I had to be the one. I had to know how I was going to respond to that awesomeness. And if I didn't have a dream, it's pretty hard to connect all that compliments or all that, you know, difference is a good thing and talk to me. It's pretty hard to know what to do with that when you don't even know what you want to do yourself. And some people might think, oh, I don't really know what I want to be in this world, you know, because the dream is, what do you want to be when you're older? And if you're a bit different or you've been told you can't do this and you can't do that, it's pretty hard to say, oh, I want to be an athlete or I want to be a speaker, because straight away there's all these perceptions in the way. But for me, I'd say, I want to do this. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to entertain. And I want to be able to connect with people. And so whenever opportunities came up in life, Jessica, that would allow me to do one of those three things, travel, entertain, or connect, I'd say yes to that opportunity. And that's what led me on to stuff. So when I'm working with young people, I'd say, you know, your dream is one of two things. It can be what you want to be or what you want to do. And go out there and don't let anything get in the way.
So something that we are enjoying asking our guests this season is, what is one way, or what are some ways that you are showing kindness to yourself? I don't think you're going to have a hard time answering this.
Kindness to myself. That's one thing that I, because it's easy, especially when you're in a role where you're in front of people all the time, it's easy to start going, okay, so there's this big external expectation on what I do, or, you know, and so celebrating kindness to myself is just stepping outside, breathing in the air. You know, one thing I did the other day was I was walking around this house, and we bought this house 3 years ago, and, you know, buying a house isn't easy, and there'd be all this rubbish outside the house, and I'd be like, man, this is disgusting. This is awful. Like, surely someone will pick this up. You know, the councilman or the councilwoman or whoever will come and pick it up. And then I thought to myself, maybe I can pick it up. And so I walked inside, and I've got a stick for reaching stuff that's high or far away. And I picked it up, put on my rubber gloves, walked around our property, picked up all the rubbish outside on the street and put it in the back. And it was just that great opportunity to do something that was helping the community and making the area look nice. And it was a time to step out of the day today and really think, imagine if we all looked after the perimeter of our house, but also the perimeter of our mind and the perimeter of our body. And it's about, you know, there can be a lot of thinking up here, especially when things haven't gone to plan and you're bombarded with all this new stuff that you've never heard of before, never come across before, and you're not sleeping, and no one else in my family knows what this feels like. They've all got these children, and I've got this child, or I've got this situation, and it's all in here. And but are you still going to the gym? Are you still looking after yourself? Are you still doing the things that you want to do? You know, going out, having fun. And I appreciate how challenging all of this stuff could be. And I don't expect people to take it all on. But just because things aren't as imagined doesn't mean that they're not possible. And I often will say, you know, doing something every day that you enjoy. And it doesn't matter if it's for a moment of a day or for the entire day. It could be just giving someone a phone call or doing something for yourself. Or if I wake up on a day and I'm feeling a little bit, I'll send a message to one of my mates and I'll just be like, hey, dude, you're awesome. Thank you. I hope everything's going good. And generally, they'll send a message back that will echo what I just said. And now I feel great. So never underestimate the power you've got of people around you and actually communicating. Not just saying, hey, how are you? Yeah, good. Everything's all good. Chirpy, chirpy. But often going a layer or two deeper and saying, you know what? This is actually really hard, or this is my goal. In fact, with Nicola a while ago, about a year ago, I said, look, my goal is to speak in America. And she connected me up with a family cafe, and that speech happened. And it would have been so easy not to have told Nicola that, or have thought that there'd be no connection there. And the same with this podcast with you. I said, look, I love doing podcasts, and she started thinking of these people she knew that did podcasts. And so whether it's our dream or our challenges or our opportunities, she even moved the world.
Aw. Well, is there anything that you haven't said that you want to make sure for our audience of parents, Cam?
I mean, it's so big. You know, there's so many people in this world. So is there anything specific that you know your community a bit more than me. Is there anything that you feel could be the question that no one asked but would really help?
Well, you know, I consider myself a caregiver advocate. So I am, you know, somebody who is supporting and encouraging and loving and trying to empower parents who are caregivers, mostly focused on moms. Our organization is mainly focused on moms. I think our podcast audience is probably mixed, but still probably mostly moms. I mean, is there anything that as caregiver advocates use their voice to share about what it's like to parent a child or teen or adult with any type of diagnosis or medical complexity or mental health challenge? Like, do you feel like the caregiver advocates they're getting it right? Or do you think that, like, I wish the caregiver advocates knew this or understood this?
I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think it really is that thing of sitting down as a caregiver advocate and as a parent and as that young person and just going, what does the dream look like? What are we going to build together? What is the adventure we're going to go on? You know, I've seen people that are pushing their child with cerebral palsy around a New York marathon. How cool is that? You know, and it's been inspiring for both the parent and the young person. But equally, they could have just gone, oh, you know what? I'll never be able to run a marathon again. I've seen people with no arms playing the drums because they can play them with their feet. And the reason in which they've got there is because they've had a parent or an advocate that's believed in them, that's believed that difference is a good thing. I heard a parent the other day speak to me, and they just, you know, recently had their child diagnosed with cerebral palsy, and they said, oh, the doctor said, you know what, he's never going to be able to play football. And it's like, wow, one, he might be able to, but two, and more importantly, there's a billion other things out there in this world that anyone can do, and all you really need to do is one of them. I had a young man who wanted to be a radio DJ. I used to run a youth mentoring program for young people with disabilities by focusing on what they want to do. And he came in and he said, Cam, I want to be a radio DJ and a radio host. And this guy, he had a very strong speech impediment, but who am I, who are any of us to say what someone can't do? And so I took him to the radio station, and he met with the radio DJ or the guy on the radio, and he said, after the meeting, the DJ came over to me and he said, Cam, are we setting this kid up for failure? And I said, no, you are. You are if all you focus on is everything this kid cannot do. But you know the radio industry better than anyone else in this country. He was a top-time radio announcer. And your job is to introduce this kid to every part of radio that he doesn't know that exists. And he realized that behind every single DJ, there's a producer, somebody writing the show, creating the show. And this young guy realized that as the, that's where his skills were better suited. So he's now on a scholarship at the broadcasting school, learning how to be a radio producer.
Wow.
And I just think that that's the prime example of focus on what you can do, not what you can't. And when you focus on what you can do, those dreams can be as big as you want them to be. Have fun with it. You know, attitude, attitude, attitude. Attitude determines the altitude, all that stuff. If I had a kid, and I'm actually about to become a father myself, we got married, Audrey and I got married 3 months ago, and we found out that our baby is 12 weeks along of a journey of development, and you know, I'm thinking about what kind of father I'm going to be, and I want to just surround this kid with so much love. I want to surround this kid with stuff that inspires, you know, that Roald Dahl book, The Places You'll Go. We've already got the poster made. Yes. We've stuck it up on the wall. Because we've got one life, right? One life to make it as awesome as we can.
Well, Cam, I can't thank you enough. I thank you so much for this. This was the best pep talk for everyone, for me, for everyone who's listening, everyone who will listen to this. And I hope that parents will share this with their kids as well. And so I thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for everything you do. Thank you for the invitation. It gives me goosebumps. You know, when someone in my own country contacts me, that's cool. When someone 9,000 miles from my home reaches out to do a podcast, wow, that gives me goosebumps. And again, what a great example of just our world is as small or as big as we want it to be. And that's with every single opportunity. So I just wish all the mothers and families that may hear this talk, you know, enjoy it. Spend some time to just get a bit of paper by yourself or as your family and go, what does our dream life look like? And I'm not saying that's necessarily going to happen, but it's a pretty awesome thing to strive towards. And, you know, when I started as an athlete, I'll finish on this, Jessica, because the Paralympics are about to come on. My dream was to get to the Paralympics. And I did everything I could to get to the Paralympics. And I imagined that to be the ultimate goal. Once I've got to the Paralympics, man, I will have nailed life. Nothing else will matter. And on that pursuit of getting to the Paralympics, I discovered I got that university scholarship and I became an ambassador for this. And then people wanted to hear my story. And then I became a speaker. And at first it was really scary. And then it became a hobby. And then it became a business. And again, that's where the dreaming big, achieve more comes from. At the moment, you can see this goal. And you go, we may or we may not get there. What we can't see is everything around it, you know. Shoot for the moon and end up with the stars. And that's your joy of life.
Ah, well, that's a beautiful way to end. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, listeners.
Thanks so much for listening today on UK Health Radio.
do us a favor and leave us a review and a rating so that this podcast can get into the ears and the hearts of more and more moms. Did you know that Brave Together podcast is an extension of our nonprofit organization, We Are Brave Together? We Are Brave Together serves an international community of caregiving moms, offering support groups that are virtual and in-person, educational resources, and low-cost weekend retreats all over the United States. We've also published 2 books, our first anthology of caregiving stories entitled Becoming Brave Together, Heroic, Extraordinary Caregiving Stories from Mothers Hidden in Plain Sight, and our newest release, Suddenly Brave Together, Letters to Caregiving Moms at a Defining Moment in Their Lives. Both books offer stories of hope and transformation and encouragement and validation for every parent caregiver. To join us today, go to wearebravetogether.org. Our support and sisterhood awaits you. Brave Together podcast is for entertainment and education purposes only. It's not a substitute for professional care and should not be relied on for medical or mental health advice. The use of any content on our podcast, links, show notes, or on our website is to be done at your own personal risk. Please seek out a professional to assess your own medical or mental health concerns, because we are all beautifully complex and the content of this podcast is for a broad audience.